Let us be seated as we pray. Our God and King, we come. We come into your presence to adore you with all that we are. We adore you. Lord, we thank you for Christmas morning, for this one moment in time in which your plans and purposes, your love and salvation, the fulfillment of your joy was met in Jesus Christ. Lord, your plan and your purposes for your love to be known by all people, for your light to shine in the world, for your hope to live, for your perfect peace to be known. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. This Christmas, Lord, would you renew our wonder? And would you pour your greater joy into our hearts as we love you and as we love one another? We lift your name on high and we thank you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we worship you with all that we are. And Lord, we ask for a spirit of prayer and believing like we have never known to be released among us. Lord, all that you have for us is all that we desire. Father, this morning we lift up to you Broadway Presbyterian Church. We thank you for all the ways that you set them apart, for the beautiful ways you equip them and call them, for the beautiful ways they serve you and serve others. We rejoice in them, Lord, and we ask you to bless them and strengthen them this day. And that, too, you would fill them with awe and wonder this Advent season. It is so good to return to you in our hearts and minds. It's so good to land in your word. In your ancient words, ever true. And as we pray the prayer, Lord Jesus, that you taught your disciples, we thank you. We thank you for showing us the way to the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So I had a real conversation this week with Siri, and this is how it went. Siri, scriptures on the peace of Christ.
Looking for scriptures on a peace of Christ.
No, psalms about peace.
Looking for psalms on peace.
Bible verses on peace.
Humans have religion. Siri has silicon.
Next time, could you change your voice and speak in an Australian accent? No, by that time, I completely lost my peace, if you can imagine. So this morning, I want to talk with us about peace. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this beautiful morning of celebration. As we sing, Lord, as we pray, as we listen, as we respond, you are here inviting us into deeper relationship with you. Give us boldness and courage and humility to draw close. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed that it seems like during the Christmas holidays that you see more angels than ever? I mean, displays of angels everywhere, and maybe real angels too, but for sure displays of angels just about anywhere and everywhere. And it's interesting to me that when angels show up, oftentimes people don't welcome that initial startling presence because they don't look like the angels that are depicted for us in Bible stories with two wings. They've got six wings and all kinds of other things if you look at some of the descriptions of it. And so angels, more times than not, are delivering a message that begins with "fear not." And 365 times that phrase will appear in Scripture, oftentimes delivered by an angel. And then there are times when there's not a single angel that shows up, but multiple angels, like a legion of angels, some 6,000 strong if we're following numbers of Roman legions. And I want to show you a picture this morning that was painted by Gustav Dore as he was trying to depict part of Dante's trilogy, the Paradiso, and it's the celestial rose with thousands and thousands of angels surrounding the throne of God. And then I want to draw our mind and our heart towards the Christmas story that's recorded in Luke chapter 2. Keep this in mind. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is where "fear not" would have been real helpful. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." There it is. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, there's that throng of angels, 6,000, a legion, appear with the angel praising God and saying, read this with me, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, think about the stunning statement that has just been delivered by an army of angels. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And God could have said, "And love to everybody." Or, "It's my prayer that everyone would have faith," or "courage," or many, many other words we could substitute. But on this occasion, at that moment, the throng of all of heaven's angels say, "And peace to those on whom his favor rests." So I want you to simply say the word out loud with me, peace. Would you say it with me? Peace. An Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us about the name of Jesus. It's a prophecy about the Messiah. 700 years before this event that takes place in Bethlehem occurs, these are the words that Isaiah pens. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." What's the last one? "The Prince of Peace." And you know, when we use language like "Prince of Peace," it means that you were born to rule. Rule over what would be a good question for us to consider. Where does Jesus, as Prince of Peace, rule? Well, we know that when Jesus was born, they were told that his name would be Emmanuel, which is God with us. But you know, just as much as God desires to be with us, you know what's on the heart of God this morning and all mornings since the beginning and the dawn of time? That we would be with him. Isn't that beautiful? And so I want to lead us into some scriptures that remind us of how peace intersects with our life. And the first is this, that God truly desires that we would have peace with God, that you and I would be at peace with him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I want you to imagine it's Saturday morning yesterday, and that you woke up and somehow you revisited when you were 2 years of age, okay? And you put your shoes on the opposite feet, okay? Now, I need for you to enter into this and imagine this for yourself. So you know what shoes you've got on this morning, unless you've already kicked them off, okay? I'm not asking you to do this for real. Just do this in your mind, okay? Put your left shoe on your right foot. Put your right shoe on your left foot. Have you got it there in your mind? This is yesterday morning. You went to the Christmas parade. Wasn't that beautiful and amazing? Maybe you went and had chili at Epworth Church, or you stopped by the taco bar at Calvary Episcopal, or you stopped by Broadway Presbyterian and had pancakes, and maybe you watched some basketball, and maybe you did some shopping, and you are walking in shoes that are on opposite feet. How's that feeling so far? Okay, now we're going to go really extreme. You went to bed last night and you kept your shoes on. And you came here this morning and you still got the shoes on the opposite feet. Are you tracking with me? Okay, here we go. I want you to now switch those shoes to the opposite feet. Put the right one on the right foot. And now, give me an audible sound. Now I want to revisit Romans chapter 5, verse 1 for a minute. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. That word is just a big Bible word for taking things that have been wrong and making them right. Ah. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The longing of God's heart is to take things that have been out of sorts, out of order, that are messed up, and getting them in the right place again. And this is so beautiful to me because it dawned on me that this is so near to the heart of God that when he dresses the Christian in the armor of God, the very last part of your apparel is to put on shoes of the gospel of peace. Like to walk out and not be out of sorts, but to bring peace everywhere you go. And one of the common greetings in the New Testament was to say, peace to this house. When you'd walk in, peace to this house. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to admit to you there are times that I walk into places and peace is the last thing on my mind. I want a piece of somebody's mind, you know. I want to tell them what they didn't do right or what needs to be done better, all that. But we're supposed to be fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace, and it begins with a peace with God. Isn't that amazing? And then there's this verse from Colossians 3:15. It reminds us that we need to have peace with ourselves and peace with others. And this is what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Have you come to an awareness that there's sometimes that you've got the peace with God thing working out pretty well, but the part that is a strain or a struggle is peace with yourself? Like, God's already forgiven you. God has released you from your past so that you can embrace this present. The only problem is, like the Grinch who stole Christmas, you're just carrying this bag of stuff behind you because you don't have peace with you. You look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Or you look at the mirror of your soul and you're distressed. And God wants us to have peace with ourselves, to enter in, to remember that Christ rules over our heart and not our circumstance and not our situation or not our last annoyance. And then finally that would lead us to being at peace with others. You know, there's some people that know how to push your buttons, that know how to say the right thing or do the right thing or not do the right thing, and all of a sudden the temperature elevates inside and peace just kind of dissipates. And so I've been reading a book by Lisa Takaris, Turkhurst. Why can I not say that word right? Proverbs 31, President Ministry. And this is what she said in her book. We steer where we stare. Now let that soak in a minute. Isn't that awesome? We steer where we stare. If you focus on the things that are annoying or difficult, that's where you're going to end up. If you surround yourself with negative people, don't be surprised that negative stuff is coming out of you. And so it's so beautiful to think about that this peace that God is wanting to offer us, this peace that came through the Prince of Peace, invites us to have peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. So I want you to just simply hold your hands up like this and make a triangle. My father was a math teacher, and he told me that the strongest geometric figure is a triangle. That's why trusses and houses are built with this kind of roof on it. It's supposed to be the strongest kind of shape. And so I want us to put the word peace in the middle of our triangle. And you don't have to hold them up. You can just put them down here. And so we've got peace in the middle of this triangle. But I want to remind us that we've been talking today about having peace with God and peace with yourself and peace with others. And if the Christian radio station were to call you today and say, hey, we've got two tickets for Church of the Resurrection's Christmas performance up in Kansas City, all we need for you to do is tell us, what did Pastor Jim say at this point in the message where he had you make a triangle? At the top of the point, there is the word what? Peace with God, yeah. And then on the, whatever side that is, the left side, that is peace with, oh goodness, I'm backwards. Okay, and then on the other side, it's peace with? And then on the other side is peace with? Others and you, somewhere in there. We steer where we stare, people. Come on. And so I just want us to make this declaration today. Would you say out loud with me, I need peace with God. You say that? Then I need peace with myself. I need peace with myself. And then I need peace with others. I need peace with others. And I don't want that to just be a generic others. You know who that other is? Peace. There. Okay, so when we were making up these decorations, there was this thought that crossed our mind about, like, what if one of the letters fell off, like last week? The E just kind of slid down but never actually came off. And it was like, what's the worst word that we could make if something fell off, you know? Do not think about that right now, okay? But because we were thinking about that, I started playing with this word this week, and I thought, if this letter disappeared altogether, what are we left with? Pace. I think that's one of the deepest challenges to our own personal peace, like how quickly and spun up we live life, the pace at which we are clicking down through our days, and I can't believe it's December. I mean, what happened to February? Pace can interrupt our peace. Here's one more. What if we just took part of this letter away? Now what do we have left? Place. Do you know that there are places that you and I will go that will elevate our temperature and diminish our peace? Are there places where you can get into being selfish, and because you're in that place, you can't really offer peace, maybe to yourself or to others? Sometimes it's about how we nurse a hurt, like, it happened years ago, but it's as if it happened just like yesterday. And because we're in that place, we have no peace. See, God invites us to full peace with Him, but it means we can't play around. We got to get serious about, here I am, God, and I need your peace. Sometimes we do this, I'm a child of God, but... And I'm going to say it, and don't exploit this. We need to get rid of our butts. I'm a child of God, therefore, I'm going to live for him. I'm not going to get discouraged when everything doesn't go my way. I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to have my feet ready with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So I want us to be invited to end this message by looking at a line. I surrender, I give over, and you fill in the blank, but you don't need to do that out loud. In fact, I'm going to invite all of us, including myself, just to simply close our eyes and think about that line. I surrender, give over, and now in your heart of hearts, fill in the blank, that thing that keeps you from having God's deep peace. Maybe it's the belief that God is not for you or with you. Put that away, because he desires to be in deep connection with you and me today, and that's love. And it takes faith to trust that. And maybe in the I surrender, it's something deep within you that is dissatisfied with you. You need to quit telling yourself that you're not worthy, or that you're of no value, or that no one cares. And maybe it's in the realm of another. And though we are in a place where we can't change them, we can change how we view them. And the greatest part of forgiveness is it sets you and me free from the thing that needed to be forgiven or the person who needs to be forgiven. It doesn't make an excuse for their action. It simply renders it powerless when we forgive. I surrender. I give over. Now let me invite us to open our eyes for just a minute and remember. When Jesus grew up and started his ministry, one of the earliest parts of his ministry, he's in a boat with his disciples, and this huge storm comes up, and he's in the back snoring away. And the disciples say, do you not care that we are perishing, Lord? And Jesus just simply turns to the storm, and he says, peace, be still. And he turns and looks at us today, and if we've got storms, or if we've had storms, or if we think there's going to be storms on the horizon, you know what Jesus wants to say to you and me? Peace, be still. He came to bring us peace. Let's pray. You're the one who calms the storm, the outside storms and the storms within. And you're the one who brings to us your holy peace so that we no longer feel shame or guilt or regret, but we are set free through your amazing, incredible, saving love that comes to us through Jesus. And today, God, we give you glory, because you give us peace. And we long for the day when your kingdom breaks forth in all realms and all places, and that the Prince of Peace is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, beginning in our heart, in the hearts of all who dwell on this planet Earth. May your peace rest upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. So in just a moment, we're going to receive a blessing and go forth. But can I ask to make a peace challenge with you this week? Just if you decide you want to do this. I think it would be crazy fun if you walked into some business or someone else's home or just some random place, and when you walk in, say, peace unto this house. Anybody want to take me up on that challenge? No, you cannot go to your own house. This has to be some really weird, fun place, okay? I think you can get away with saying that in school even and not get in trouble, okay? All right, so let's stand and, but then tell me next week where you said it, okay? Because I want to hear it, okay? And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace. Have a great week, everybody.